Good evening, everyone, and welcome. I'm Tammy Haddad, founder of the Washington AI Network. Thank you for being here for one of our favorite traditions, bringing together Washington's policymakers, innovators, journalists, Hill staff, and builders who are shaping the future. Tonight, we're doing something special. We're giving you a first look at CES 2026, the world's most powerful technology event. And this year, CES arrives with even more to watch for Washington, including new platforms like CES Foundry, which is bringing fresh energy around AI, blockchain, quantum, and next-generation innovation. CES matters to this town more than ever. AI competitiveness, supply chain resilience, national security, and technological leadership are no longer separate conversations. They're one story. And CES is where that story plays out on a global stage. We are very lucky to have the two people steering that vision with us tonight. Gary Shapiro, CEO and Vice Chair of the Consumer Technology Association, and Kinsey Fabrizio, President of the Consumer Technology Association. So settle in, grab a drink, and let's talk about what CES 2026 means for Washington, for the industry, for the future we're all building. Gary and Kinsey, welcome. Okay, Gary, I want to start with you. What's new at CES this year?
Just about everything is new because every year it's reinvented. There's a lot of focus on investors because a lot of people are trying to raise money. We have a special area called Eureka Park. It's startups from around the world. We'll have over 1,000 different startups. We subsidize that because we believe that everyone should have the opportunity to expose themselves to important people like journalists in this audience and others. But in terms of categories, Kinsey will tell you about the Foundry and everything going on there shortly, but definitely robotics, as well as 1,200 speakers, including some major keynoters and speakers. And we have a great company, LG is exhibiting.
MoonPay's here, General Catalyst, the CEO of General Catalyst, Montanashi, is going to be there.
And of course, we have a lot of people, not only from Washington, but literally from government capitals around the world. Kinsey and I have been to Asia twice already in the last few months, and Europe several times. We've split it up and around the country, and the reaction to CES is off the charts. We thought, honestly, with tariffs and everything else, it would be less exciting, but what's more exciting is the enthusiasm that people have, because in a time of great change and great crisis, they want to come together.
And what are they looking for? I mean, is there something they're looking for, like an NVIDIA chip or something like that, or what?
Well, people come with different plans about what they want. Obviously, journalists want stories, they want relationships. You could do a lot online, obviously. But unless you're with someone, you have to figure out whether you could trust them, whether you could be with them, how you feel about them. Investors are looking for investment opportunities. Some companies that are exhibiting are looking for investment or media coverage. But what's really interesting, a lot of the exhibitors are looking for each other. You know, with several thousand exhibitors, you don't know what you're looking for because you're also going to discover things that you never knew about. So serendipity is a huge part of these live events. It's like meeting all the wonderful, incredible people in this room tonight. I mean, you don't know who you're going to meet and have a relationship which could fundamentally change your life. Not only in business, but it could be a future teammate.
Yeah, I like that. People are looking for jobs. They're looking for relationships, too. I don't know. White House and Respondents Weekend plus innovation, right? Okay, Kinsey, so you're like right on the cutting edge. You have specifically been looking at all these new kinds of technologies, and God knows there's so many you can't even name them. So what are you most looking forward to? What do you see that people haven't been able to see yet?
Well, one of the categories that I love the most at CES is digital health. I love when I see tech that's solving big challenges and truly helping people and helping the world. But then to also see technologies like a portable MRI that can be deployed in underserved health populations and technologies that are truly bringing healthcare access to the world. I think that's an amazing feature of CES. And when you walk through the digital health zone, you can see just how transformative health tech innovation is. So that's one of my favorite parts that I look forward to. The keynotes, those are amazing. We have a keynote in the Sphere on the first night of the show. It's a wonderful venue. And if you come to CES, I hope that you will attend that keynote. Is the CEO of Lenovo, YY, and he's going to put on a spectacular show.
At the Sphere?
At the Sphere.
He's shoving the Wizard of Oz aside for the night?
They will be on a brief pause, and he will come in, and he will do his keynote there. But there's a great keynote lineup at CES.
Well, that sounds great. Let's go back for both of you, robotics.
Yeah.
We've talked a little bit about health, but when you're talking about AI, robotics, the whole world has been talking about, are there going to be more jobs? Is it going to be harder to find a job? Is the technology going to allow you to get a better job? What are you guys doing in robotics?
Yes.
Okay.
All
your
answers.
There we go. Thank you, Gary.
Well, I learned from Kinsey, you always be positive.
Well, but it is positive.
It is.
Of course it's positive. AI is going to solve some of the most fundamental problems in healthcare and other areas, in transportation, self-driving, AI. It's robotics. That's what it is. And then in other areas, it's just going to do so many different things for us. Look, AI has been flying our planes for a long time, so this isn't new. Nor is the fear of new technology new, because my entire career has been built upon people in Washington that are old school, opposing new technology coming in and doing everything they can to use the government to stop it. So what keeps me awake at night and what motivates me is if I fail at my job, actually, then innovation may not occur, especially in the U.S. And the U.S. has been a leader in so many different ways. So three Nobel Prize winning economists have said together and said that these fears that have been shown over history about automation, yes, of course, are going to cost jobs. Otherwise, we'd all be pushing plows right now instead of in this incredible location, doing what we're doing with all these screens and technology and phones and all these things which make a difference in our lives. And we'd also be living till we were 22 if we were lucky. So things have changed dramatically because of technology, and new jobs are always created. Look, we fought Hollywood, who said that the VCR would put them out of business. We fought the music industry that said all these ability to record and do all these things would be terrible, and there'd be no more singing and no more all this. Every time people complain about it, like the broadcasters are complaining that AM radio has to be mandated in cars now because it's so freaking important to us and nobody uses it. But, you know, they want to hurt electric cars. They want to do all sorts of things. And they want the government to prop them up. And our job is to make sure they don't. So will there be jobs? Yes, there'll be. The Detroit industry will all of a sudden be producing cars that actually create different environments, whether you want a sleep environment, an office environment, a home theater environment. Whatever it is, there'll be all sorts of new jobs created.
Okay, but Gary, you must be the happiest man in Washington if you don't want regulation, if you don't want the government to interfere, because they're not. And they're saying more than any other time. Am I right? And they
President
all come
Trump
to you.
President Trump is, in terms of AI, the best leader in the world, because what he has said is AI is our future, and AI will be to President Trump what fracking was to Barack Obama. It will save the economy and give him a place in history that he's probably not even expecting. Because AI is so important. It's like the internet itself. It's generational change. It'll keep people healthy that were otherwise sick. It will change so many things in life. And that's important.
Kinsey, let me come back to you. Because in this room, while we're sitting here, are many people, policymakers, who will be coming to CES or their bosses will be coming to CES, right? They're scribbling notes, as we said earlier, the briefing notes, right now. Okay, what is the role of these policymakers? This is like a big tech conference. It's supposed to be a really good time. What's going on behind the scenes?
Well, it's a good time, but it's also an important time. And if your boss is coming, you should ask your boss if you can come with them. But if you go, what you will have is the opportunity to meet with tech leaders firsthand and to look at their products and to get a demo and to be able to ask them questions. Because what we believe is important is for public-private cooperation and collaboration. And in order to do that, you want to understand how the tech is created and what it's capable of and what the challenges are, what the opportunities are. And the best way to do that is by seeing it in person and walking through the show floor and getting a demo. I've been at CES and seen these tours happen, and I've seen people change their mind about maybe something they thought about a type of technology. Autonomous driving is a good example of that. And I've watched them really understand and see how an entrepreneur or an innovator came up with a concept and was able to bring it to life in a product. And when you get to do that, and you see it hands-on, you truly get to understand and ask questions. We also have conference sessions. And so your boss might be speaking. You might be speaking. We love that. We think it's really important to hear from so many different perspectives and opinions at CES. So during our Innovation Policy Summit, we have our government leaders, and we have tech companies, and they come together and they talk about key important issues. And it's an amazing opportunity. It's very important to us to have this community at CES. We believe seeing is believing. We think education is extremely important. And even though we do lobby the other 361 days of the year, we spend a lot of time on the Hill. We think it's the best field trip ever, and we would be honored when you come.
There are policymakers of two types, those who've been to CES and those who have not. It's like talking about ice cream. Until you experience it, you won't appreciate it. But once they've been there, they see what's important. And we do not oppose government regulation. Actually, we want to know what's legal and what's not. We think we have a right, as every company in America should, to know what's legal and what's not. And that's why to see Sam Feist, the head of C-SPAN here, is gratifying, and knowing that it'll be at CES, because we will have a ton of policymakers there. But we're more into collaboration. What I've worked on with HDTV, the laws that govern the internet, they have been government-private actions working together to come up with what's best for the United States and what's best for the world, and they worked out really well for just about everyone involved.
So if you're traveling abroad and they're asking you to explain what's happening in America, how do you explain it? I mean, on the innovation side.
Yeah, well, we talk about how exciting our companies are, and our member companies, we're a North American-based trade association. The majority of our companies are based in the U.S., and you have to have a U.S. headquarters. And so we talk about that, and we talk about the amazing innovations coming from tech companies. We talk about the big companies, of course, because they're our members, but we spend a lot of time talking about the smaller companies and the small to medium-sized companies. 80% of our member companies at CTA are actually small to mid-sized companies. And so we like to share their stories, and we like to talk about how they are showing up and changing the world. You know, Fitbit launched at CES for many, many over a decade ago, and that was transformative. And so many amazing companies have launched there, whether it was in Eureka Park, among the 1,400 startups that go there, or in other parts of the show. And we're very fortunate to have access to those companies and be able to tell their story.
But what's really changed, I think, in the larger, very large picture, is the government drove innovation, right? So now it's really flipped where companies are, as much as I can tell, are driving 90% of the innovation that's happening. Although this government says, come and bring it to us. But for you, just talking about Fitbit, Bluetooth technology, the internet, all of that started with government. Do you have government sneaking in now trying to get ahead of companies? Or how does that work? Because I think it's a complete flip.
I think you're right. Innovation is just moving so much faster now than it was in the past. And tech companies, all kinds of companies, are just able to scale up and innovate and move fast. And we think that that's really important. But what I will say is that what I talked about earlier, the opportunity to be able to learn from tech and to see firsthand, it's extremely important to do that and to have that communication. I mean, you can't know what you're regulating or understand how to regulate if you don't know what it is and if you don't know the capabilities of the technology. So I think that that's an extra important thing to happen in our world right now, is that collaboration, that learning, and the cooperation too.
Okay. Favorite moment at CES?
So Jillian Michaels came to CES.
Jillian Michaels? All right, this is good.
She's no longer the beloved as she once was, I think, after the documentary came out. But she came and she was talking about the power of wearable technologies. And I saw, it was the first year we had digital health at CES. And I saw Fitbit and Body Media and Jawbone and all these new companies launching their products. And it really opened my eyes. And I thought, this is huge. And this is going to change the way that we live and the way that we know information about ourselves. Prior to that time, you might have had a bathroom scale. And that was the only way you would get health information about your own body without going to the doctor. And so I loved it. And now, you know, fast forward in 2022, Abbott launched their direct-to-consumer Lingo CGM device at CES. And I think it's amazing for just anyone who wants to understand how what they eat and how they move impacts their blood glucose levels. You can do that now, and it's pretty affordable and it's pretty accessible. And they launched it at the show. And so those first moments, I will never forget seeing that tech category.
Kinsey introduced me to Jillian Michaels, and that just started her career path upwards. Yeah, because I used to do her exercise tips. I always like the opening of the show because it's exciting to see. When you're there the night before, it looks like it could never happen, and it does happen. But what's really excites me the most year-round is the importance of the event. because it's so important that we do it right. I talked about lobbying Washington. We also have to get that event right so innovators can meet each other, and because no one could do everything themselves anymore in technology. And it's what we're doing, I think, is so important that the United Nations actually partners with us. If you look at the globe, I'm a patriotic American, but there are humans all around the earth. And they are, according to the UN, they have fundamental human securities. They have the right to health care. They have the right to food. They have the right to clean air and clean water and community. And they actually approached us and said, will you partner with us and promote all these things? Because you're doing it all. You're showing agriculture stuff from John Deere and Caterpillar, which is not only getting more crops, but saving fertilizer and seed and water and uses the internet and all these other things. And healthcare is just, it's fundamentally going to change the world. In 10 or 20 years from now, probably a large portion of people that are dying from something today will not be dying from it because they'll know so much that we can't do otherwise. And in transportation, the same thing. 40,000 people losing their lives each year. 2 million people being hospitalized. If we can get self-driving right, we will saving people going to the hospital. We've all lost people that we won't have to lose in the future. So what we're doing to me is really important. And that's my favorite moment. My worst moment is like 2 minutes after the show ends, all of a sudden, everything starts coming down. And it's like, oh, it's sad. It is sad. But it's like a final exam. Then we move on to the next one.
Okay. We ask everyone this question. Gary's first. What is your favorite AI?
My favorite AI, you mean the type or what my...
The type. What do you use?
Oh, I use ChatGPT.
Okay, just ChatGPT, that's it?
I've tried others, but I'm like loyal to Crest.
There we go. And by the way, Leah's here from Anthropic. She's not going to speak to you after.
I have not tried it. I will try it if you don't boo me anymore.
Kinsey, what do you use?
I use ChatGPT. I like Perplexity a lot. I like Gemini. I dabble with a few.
What do you guys think about the fact that this government is... working with companies, taking a piece of the action of the companies. I mean, you know these people that are leading companies.
Well, as an association, I don't think we have a view, but we're individuals, and I have a view. On the one hand, as a taxpayer, I think if you're helping a company, that's great that you get a piece of it as a taxpayer. I mean, that's it. On the other hand, how does that help other companies that are in competing if the government has their heavy hand on one company? So they're good things. It's like, why should government invest in basic research? Well, sometimes nobody else will. There is a proper role for government in doing certain things. And when you see a lot of governments, like in China, for example, they invest a lot in their companies and they've gotten quite wealthy doing that. I don't mind having a wealthy government as long as they're spending their money wisely.
Okay. Kinsey, anything to add?
No, I agree with you. As long as they're spending their money wisely and trying to reduce the deficit.
All right. What is your favorite prompt? Kinsey, I'm going to let you go first.
Okay.
What's your go-to? What have you been most successful? What do you like?
Well, I asked ChatGPT what I ask it the most, and it told me, you typically ask me to take complicated weekly activities for your children and put them into a readable table or calendar. And I do that every single Sunday night to help plan out the week for me and my husband because there's too many activities and it's just so much. And AI has helped that tremendously. At work, we have an AI system that we use internally, and usually I'm searching up historical information. You know, I can't remember what happened on this issue or this topic. Can you help me?
Is this CTA AI?
Yes.
And can other people get access to that?
I will tell you, for CES 2026, the app that we have for attendees does have an AI feature. So if you have a specific interest or a type of company or person that you want to meet with at CES, you can share that information in the app, and the Gen AI tool will give you recommendations for content, for exhibitors, for networking events, and it will help. So there is a little bit of CES CTA AI out there for you.
Okay, there you go. I like that. Okay, Gary, your favorite prompt?
Well, for work, I'm going to give you two answers. For work, we use Glean, and we have everything I've ever written in it, so I can remember what I've written, and I could write stuff in my own. I could even write stuff in my own style.
Wow.
But for real life, home, I ask it, now that I've said something I shouldn't have said, how could I find the right words to apologize?
And ladies and gentlemen, this is why we ask the question. These are very important ways for you to live a better life. What a conversation. Thank you, Gary Shapiro. Thank you, Kinsey Fabrizio. Thank you for all your work at the Consumer Technology Association. And special thanks to everyone in this room. We'll see you in Las Vegas. I hope to see you at the Sphere, and we'll see you inside CES 2026. This has been the Washington AI Network podcast. Thank you for listening to the Washington AI Network podcast. Be sure to subscribe and join the conversation. The Washington AI Network is a bipartisan forum bringing together the top leaders and industry experts to discuss the biggest opportunities and the greatest challenges around AI. The Washington AI Network podcast is produced and recorded by Haddad Media. Thanks for listening.